Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, settle down and welcome to a special midnight at Eastern Time, as my friend Magical Hummingbird there said that I probably should have made that a little more clear. As this work in progress, known as the Main Street Universe Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, continues. And my name is Daniel Michael, and I am the creator and host of Main Street Universe, the radio show, which started exactly about a year ago, Halloween, Samhain, to those of us who are pagans. And we're going to be doing this Wednesday a Samhain ritual, as well as a kind of anniversary show. So I'm trying to get every single person that's ever been a host with us at Main Street Universe, which is now a mini network. It used to be one show, but now we have Evan Poss, who's supposed to be here, and he hosts our show Zariana Radio. We have Jesse Ann Nichols-George. I'm hoping she can call in. Kevin Baird's going to call in. Even my old co-hostess, Melissa DeGenova, said she might call in as long as she has power, and we all have power. She's way up north there on the coast. So Melissa may be joining us again. She was with us for about, I'm going to take a guess and say about 10 weeks, and she used to be a tour guide for the Witch Museum up there in Salem, as well as, of course, Brett Hillman, who's schedule is clearing up, and he's kind of becoming our third host a little bit more again recently because he had to go back to school and do certain things and stay in school, kids. That's what I want to say. Tonight is a special Monday night broadcast. Sorry, last night was Sunday. It's been a very long, busy, crazy week, and we got this storm, and the storm gods seem to have blessed us to be able to, A, just have power, and as well to be able to go on the air. And as you heard that symbol, that's not a sound that I have keyed up on the computer. I am in a music studio right now doing my show, and this is Cafe Fairfax. It's the name of the studio. It's a studio made out of a shed that my brother and I, the Reverend Scott Samuel Michael, is my brother, who will be joining us as a guest and has before quite a few times. So what I want to do is get to a few brief announcements and then kind of get on with the show. Last night we did some free tarot readings and the lines were lit up. We had 80 people in the chat room, folks. I'm not kidding. We had 80 people in the chat room and about 20 to 30 on the phones. That's a lot for a Blog Talk Radio show. It was the busiest show as far as live listeners that I ever remember doing. I had seen that many people in a chat room one other time, and that was for Selena Fox's show. Selena, but of course, is, you know, a huge name in the pagan community. Now, my show, for those that don't know, because some people are listening and they're the characters that you can see and their icons that you can see and the people you can see in the chat room. Some people listen in different ways to where they don't show up in the chat room. And so there's more listeners than it looks, you know, when you get the numbers, when the numbers come in. And then you have archive listens. So it was a huge night for us. It was also filled with some controversy. But to me, that was almost like a step, like, okay, well, now we're big enough in this world, I guess, this Blog Talk Radio world, we're big enough to attack. So we had some trolls come in, and, you know, I guess they should learn the lesson that trolls should know better than to mess with witches. And it didn't work out in Harry Potter, and it looks like it didn't work out for them in real life either. So Tonight, we're going to be doing sort of a music show, artistic show. And I want to share some of my talented friends with the world, and as well as a song that or two that I myself have done or am working on. For those that don't know me, I'm a musician, I'm a singer, I play guitar primarily. I also play drums and bass and pretty much all the rock instruments. And I'm working on a new demo. It's going slow, but it's going. We've had some great musicians on the show before, included Woving Green, who's going to be back with us sometime. I hope sometime soon. I work with them. We do events together and stuff. Really nice people, Jim and Ashley Cash of Woven Green. We've had Kelly Anna on the show, if you're familiar with the pagan musician Kelly Anna. She's been on our show. We have some of hers. I might play a song of hers. I have full permission to use her stuff. We have other people. There's a group of, like, there's these two gypsy kids that I ran into that were they were wandering around playing, and they sold me a CD. And I said, can I use it on my show? He was playing this one of those things. I forget what it's called, but it's like a giant stick with a whole bunch of strings. It's not a cello. I forget what it's called. And it almost can sound piano-y at times. It was an amazing instrument. And this guy's just in his girlfriend or wife are just traveling the country touring true modern young hippies. And I said, well, how much is the CD? And he was like, hey man, whatever you want to give us for it, whatever you're comfortable with. they definitely had this laid back spirit of the traveling gypsy musicians. And they were called, I believe they called themselves Euphoric Vibration. And I'll be playing a song or two from them. And he plays this unique instrument. It's a big stick with a whole bunch of strings on it. And kind of like an upright cello or bass, but with many more strings, and you kind of tap on it. I just can't remember if anyone out there remembers that instrument. Let me know, or in the chat or something like that. I would as well like to announce that our show came really close to becoming Main Street Universe, a television show. And I might start looking into that again. That's kind of on the back burner. I know I announced it for a while. We'll do a TV version. Janice works at the television studio, my new hostess, who's with us, who I just love working with her. And she does a radio show there called World Reggae Party. And I joined her World Reggae Party. It's a big, beautiful radio studio there at Fairfax Public Access Television and Radio, and they really have a beautiful facility here in this town for it. I played a song there live in studio with the really good mics, and it went well. We had fun, and we had dinner after. I'll play that for you. I have it here, but I didn't want to play it for the first time on the show without Janice being here, so I have a recording of it, and I'm going to play it Wednesday after the ritual when we do all this 1 year anniversary celebration. Hopefully everybody can call in. I know there's a storm, and we'll be approaching the waning moon side of things as things move on. I have a feeling tonight's show is going to be much slower than last night. I just do. For one thing, I didn't just open the lines and post free readings. When you do that, you get a lot more people. I guess the only thing that might get more people than that live is if you do a as far as a pagan show, if you say, love spell, get your man back, and then the lines might light up. What do I do? Or woman. Either way, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying there are certain things that bring live listeners and certain things that bring archive listeners. Like when I did the episode with Gunter Hauck, we did an episode about saving the bees, and I had a great beekeeper on. And this beekeeper was talking about the disappearing honeybee population. So, it was a fascinating show. Not a lot of live listeners. I remember being a little disappointed, thinking, man, this should be generating more live listeners. But, you know, that's how life is sometimes. But it did generate lots of after listeners. So a lot of people... and thank you for responding, Heather, because I was hoping that I was being heard, because sometimes I get here, and if I'm by myself, I'm not exactly sure if the signal's going through, so I'm glad you responded to something I said. If you're not hearing anything, Magical Hummingbird and Heather, both of you, by the way, thank you for joining us. Very nice to meet. I think it's the first time I've met Heather. Unless I've met her at which school, I don't remember, and I apologize for that. I talk to a lot of people. I have a public job. I'm a public person. I'm a performer. I do radio shows. I'm a musician. I work at a store where I just talk to people constantly, so I sometimes forget what I say to people. But welcome, Hummingbird, and welcome, Heather, very much. And the bee problem, back to that really quick. Yes, it did get a lot of concerns and a whole lot of archive listen. So Blog Talk Radio, it is what it is. You know, it's some episodes get not as many live listens, but you make up for it in the archives. And we had a ton of people interested in that in the archives. It was one of our highest rated shows. And he was in a movie, Gunther Hauck was in a movie called Queen of the Sun. It was a beautiful artistic movie about... And it attempted to inspire. That's what I liked about it. It wasn't like doom and gloom, but it was telling you what the doom and gloom is. But it attempted to inspire in an artistic way. And while there's a song up, I might attempt to link the YouTube trailer to Queen of the Sun, because it's a really beautiful movie. Just watching the trailer is you know, fascinating as I started researching this issue. So there's a little history and future. We're going to do more episodes like that. We did another one already since. We did one on saving the bat population. And the bats in certain parts of the country are disappearing as well. And remember, bats eat mosquitoes. So bats are very, very valuable to us. And since I talked about them already, Woven Green, I'm going to go ahead, and to those of you familiar with my show, have heard me play this song before. This song is called Sixth Sun by Woven Green. This is Jim and Ashley Cash. Honestly, listening to the recording, it's good, but it doesn't capture her voice, because I've been in the same room where she's singing, and she's really got a big, powerful, beautiful voice. This is Woven Green is the name of the band, and the song is called Sixth Sun. I think you'll like it, and I'll be back in just a couple minutes. It's only about a 3-minute song. This one is six. and now we are back. And Hummingbird, I saw that you said you were having some sound issues. I hope you can hear now. It happens sometimes on Blog Talk Radio shows where you tune in, especially on nights that are stormy or even sometimes just busy, and you'll have to refresh. You'll just have to close out and, you know, try it again. So I hope you can hear back now. And that was Woven Green. They were a guest on our show a few months back. It was one of our highest rated shows. They're a very dedicated band, really trying to do it full time. And they're really quite talented. I'll probably hit another song of theirs before the show is over. And since we're talking about sharing creations and sharing things that friends of mine have created, which is kind of what this is about, is our role as creators. And I would like to touch upon that topic in general briefly, in that we have a part to play in this universe, and that part, in part, is to create, and we have a hand in creating our own lives. Of course, there are bad things that can happen, but a magical practitioner is someone that believes that they can, with, of course, thankfulness and reverence, engage in the powers of the universe or just in your own creativity and make your own new reality, regardless of what situation you may have come from. So, sound is vibration and the beginning, you know, the original note, as some people say, the Aum, the ultimate mantra. And it's also just fun to hit cymbals, but we're talking about creation and music, and I'll go to another aspect of that, and that is, we mentioned tarot a little bit earlier, chatting. A friend of mine, Kevin Baird, created the On the Horizon Oracle deck. And so what I have right now is the guide, and I'll mention a card of his and then go on to the next song. Because Kevin put a lot of work into this. He created his own Oracle deck. It has nothing to do with the Rider-Waite Tarot system. It is an independent Oracle deck all its own. And one card that I thought was interesting is called the Dreamins card. So instead of demons, it's Dreamins. It's progress being slowed due to the unexpected conditions or situations. Something will get in your way. And hindsight will show the value of this delay. So it's like something blocking you. And in the picture on the card, it's literally this sort of stick figure, funny-looking horned demon character blocking this guy's way, and he wants to get past, and there's a crescent moon behind him in a waning position, again, that being sort of, you know, slowing things down. But eventually you'll learn that these little dreamins, or these things that seem like they're blocking your dreams, and that's the impression I get from this card, is actually just something that was necessary. Depending on what cards are around this card, they can be negative. Like, okay, it's time to banish your dreamins, if you will. But that was the Horizon Oracle card I talked about. In the past, it came up in a few readings. I occasionally read with Kevin's deck. Most of the time, I read from my Rider-Waite Tarot. But it's interesting to pick up an Oracle deck and get a kind of, you know, something to give you different images and different things going on. So now, we'll go back to another song. And this time, I'm going to go with the kids that I talked about. I'm just reading some of the things in the chat room. And yes, it is kind of it's a cozy, quiet show right now. It is nothing like last night's show at all. And that could be good. I don't know if I ever had the strength for another. Honestly, though, we had some really nice readings in the bulk of that show. And it's there in the archive. I also, before I get to this next song, because I got a new listener here, Heather, who seems to be a really interesting person, and glad to have met her, and I'm glad she's here. and that we definitely have a few things in common. We do have a Facebook page. And while some of these things are going on, I'll start. My computer's really slow out here in the studio, especially with a storm. So I'll link up the Facebook page if you want to click on it. And it's a great page because we put, you know, every archive and a few, you know, informative bits about the show on it. So it's a real quick way to get to whatever we're doing on Main Street Universe. It's a really fast, easy way to do it. This next song is the kid that was playing. I said they were wandering like hippies. And I gave him $10 for the CD. It seemed like a pretty good price. I believe the thing had like 8 or 9 songs, if that many. I don't know if it had that many. But I'm going to go ahead and scroll down. And I'm going to play a song of theirs called Let It Shine. And it's this big, unusual stick instrument that he's playing. Here it is. I'll just let it speak for itself. Let It Shine.
If you're lost in the dark and if you can't see, if you're shivering in the cold night, turn up the heat. You got a fire burning deep inside. You gotta soak it till it's burning up bright. Shine a light.
Let It Shine by Euphoric Vibration. And interesting group of young people there. Well, just two of them, actually. The next song I want to play, I'll give a little introduction first, is I was in a New Age shop, the one local to here. It's called Sticks and Stones. Sticks and Stones, kind of a small place. It's almost more of a gathering place, I think, than it is, you know, a place that sells a ton of things. They don't have that much space. And yes, I agree, Heather, that is a good name for that sound. It was Euphoric Vibration. And I was in Sticks and Stones, and I saw this sign, and I was like, oh, here's a local musician. I wasn't even familiar with her. And I said, well, I'll just email her. There was her flyer. It looked pretty professionally done. And she was actually going to play in this New Age shop that I'm using the word New Age shop pretty loosely here, but I think my audience understands what I'm talking about. So anyway, I send her this email saying, hey, why don't you come and be on my show? I'm all about sometimes having, you know, local musicians on the show. And so it ended up, she responded right away. And then I told other people, like people on the internet that I know around the world, and they're like, oh my gosh, you got Kellyanne on your show. I know who she is. And I'm like, wow, everybody knows who this lady is except for me. And then I did meet her. I got to meet her in person at the show, and she was awesome and great to talk to. And yeah, Kellyanne was definitely a blessing to be on the show. It was a highly rated show, and it was a blessing to meet her in person after her show at the New Age Shop. And I wasn't aware that she was as well known as she was. There was 50 people crammed into this tiny little shop. And it was just a great show. She didn't have a microphone, and she didn't have anything except for just her and her drum. And her voice was so big. I mean, she just had this humongous voice. There was 50 people in there, and you could still hear her voice just, you know, barreling over folks. And, oh, Hummingbird is back. Welcome back. And so anyway, this is a song by Kellyanne. And this one is Blessed Are We.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we in the morning. Blessed are we in the light of the day. As we enjoy the earth turning. Blessed. And the magic of dusk is upon us. And blessed are we in the dark of the night as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we. Blessed are we in the light of the day as we enjoy the turning. Blessed are we as the twilight descends and the magic of dusk is upon us. Blessed are we in the dark of the night as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we in the morning. Blessed are we in the light of the day as we enjoy the eternity. Blessed are
I think Magical Hummingbird said that one well and properly, of saying, kind of like a pagan lullaby. And that's an interesting way of looking at it. There's another song that some people call a pagan lullaby, though it's not the name of the song, that I like and I don't have here and I don't have the permission to use it, which is the one by Incubus Succubus. The Heaven's Gift to Me has that feel to it as well. And I'm going to play now a song. It's not finished, folks. I have to let you know. It's one that I've been working on. I've had it in a while unfinished. I'm just now getting back to starting to record the demo again. And I have one completely unfinished track. It's just me and guitar. There might be another guitar on it or something. It's me singing and playing guitar. And this one is one that I wrote a while ago and I never used in a band. And then one day I just sort of, one of those songs that you just resurrect. And it seems, it's funny, it seems to go over well live. And I just was like, yeah, I guess I'll start using it. I've never used it in a band. It was just one of those songs I wrote with a buddy of mine, my old songwriting partner for years. I'm 41 years old, in case anybody's wondering how old I am. I'm 41. And I wrote this song years ago, and with my old, my old best friend, and he, went his separate ways, and I never used it in a band. And now that I'm just sort of in my own solo project, piecing together a new band, I decided to resurrect it, and I've played it, I think, once before on some show somewhere. But it's our new copy, and this one is called The Lake. This is one of mine. Thank you.
But I can't reach it, my vision was taken away. I fear I'll sink, and the song I hear makes me think. Unaware of his pain, when he returns, he will be happy. His thoughts will be with him again, and sometimes he fears he'll sing, and the song he hears makes him think. Just took its place. When I return, I will be happy. I won't have to do this again. mine, and sometimes I fear I'll sing, and the song I hear makes me
okay, and there it was. That was one of my originals. It's called The Lake, and it's not... thank you very much, Hummingbird. I'm glad you liked it. And thank you again, Heather. It's not finished. It could use a little life behind it, so you guys got to hear it first in the rough cut version. That's our rough cut studio version that's not yet finished. It was just me playing the guitar and singing it. I thought the vocal take was good enough to share with the public, so I said, okay, I'll go ahead and... I'll go ahead and upload that. Actually, no, in that particular one, I'm playing a guitar known as a Larrivé. It's not my guitar, and it's a really nice-sounding guitar, but it belongs to my brother, and he bought it. He has a little bit more means than me, and it's fairly rare. I mean, it's not that rare. It's not super high-end, super big money, but I think it's like, you know, a $900 acoustic guitar. So it's a fairly expensive guitar, and they only make, you know, whatever it is, like $1,000 a year. It's a smaller shop, and it's in the room. It sounds great. It doesn't have electronics, but it has a really nice sound to it. My road guitar, my beater guitar, if you will, that has scars and scratches on it, just like I guess all of us do. that one, it sounds great plugged in because it has fancy electronics. About a $400 guitar. But the one I used on the album is actually different than the one I'm going to be using when I start playing out. And someone just walked in and out. So there's a few people coming and going, but that's okay. And yeah, I love that guitar. It feels good. It sounds amazing. And in the room, it sounds good. Like when you're in a room, it sounds full and bassy and just bright and has every quality. And guitars actually can get better with age. And sometimes you have a guitar and it'll age and it'll develop different sounds, like get a little bassier or get... maybe a little more mid, or depending on the instrument, how it's made, what wood it's made out of. And I'm going to go ahead, and soon, I see you gals are typing, and I'm paying attention today because I learned to pay attention a little more to the chat room. Oh, there you go, a Stradivarius order. Do you play, Heather? Oh, okay. It's. I always think it's really sad when they talk about taking music out of public schools. And do I have good roommates? I'm not sure if you were talking to me. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and continue, and then we'll get back to any comments from the chat room. I want to go ahead to another song, and... And yes, I do have great roommates, by the way, and I'm out in a music studio right now. It was a shed that we converted into a studio. So we're out here, and there's a fully functioning drum set, and as you can hear. And we have, you know, guitars hanging here. My brother and I built it. It's actually a wall that has three or four layers, and one of the layers is air. You take air between the inner and outer wall, which is something I didn't know until we started talking to recording engineers when making this. It was a work shed. It's little. It's small. It's like a room, basically, like one small room with a drum kit and mixing board and stuff hanging on the wall. But I started learning about these things. But it is equipped, absolutely, and it's a lot of fun to have this. My life is so much better since coming back up here to Virginia and being closer to family, and as well as getting back into my metaphysical practices, all sort of came hand in hand with that and starting this show and all of this. Right now, here's a gentleman who has at times as a job or a gig, a pretty sweet one, traveled the world for the State Department talking about hand drums to people in different countries. He's a master. Master percussionist. His name is Tom Teasley. He will be a future guest. This song is called Nights Over Baghdad, and he does play all the instruments on here. This is him hitting everything. None of it is drum machine. There are loops. He has a loop, but not a drum machine. And I've seen him play live. It's pretty amazing to watch him play, and he loops everything. And let me just get to it instead of over-explaining it. This one's called Nights Over Baghdad. our friend Tom Teasley, and he's pretty amazing to watch because he sets up a loop machine, if anybody's familiar with that, and, well, the storm's getting louder outside. I mean, much louder. Sticking the phone out there. Don't know if you can hear that. But we're blessed to have signal. The storm gods have bestowed a blessing upon us, and I am thankful for that, to be able to do this. I was given a night off from work because of the storm, but I'm still able to do this, so that's pretty awesome. So Tom Teasley, again, amazing to watch live, sets up the loops, then he plays the wind instruments himself while the drum loops are all going on behind him, and then he sort of breaks them all down individually, and it's just really amazing to watch. He's really very good at what he does. So I've now... A little bit late, I lit the show's official incense, which is dragon's blood, one of my favorite. I love sandalwood, and I love nagshampa, and I like dragon's blood a lot. I like some of the woodsy, earthy incenses more so than the perfumey ones, but they're okay, too. But dragon's blood, I got so used to lighting that in the studio when I'm here, is that now if I go anywhere, like if I go to the local New Age shop, and I smell dragon's blood there, I instantly think, like, my mind goes, oh, I'm on the air. You know, I associate it totally with the show now because it became just sort of a routine. We light a candle, and next to it is our incense burner. We have a dragon's blood stick, you know, usually going during the course of the show. So I smell dragon's blood, I think, Main Street Universe, and I think, oh, I'm on the air. So anyway... We were talking about creation, and these musicians I'm playing for you are friends of mine. They're not just folks out in the world, which would be okay too, but they're friends of mine or people I've met. And another creative friend of mine is Kevin Baird, who created the Horizon Oracle deck, and I'll mention another card of his. He has a great one called Planned Failures, and I'll just explain that briefly. And this Planned Failures card, for those of you that know, it's a divination deck, like the tarot, but an oracle deck doesn't necessarily follow the Rider-Waite tarot thing. Some of them do a little bit, some of them don't. Kevin's is completely independent of this. But the planned failures one is someone making a sandcastle that they know is going to be washed away or knocked down, and then somebody comes and kicks it down, and a wave's coming. And I just thought that was a great card because it's someone that likes to set up a victim mentality. And a victim is never a place of strength when talking about how to deal with things. I mean, sometimes, you know, people are genuine victims of something, and that's to be respected. What we're talking about is setting up little psychic traps and waiting for people to knock them down and then go, I'm offended, I'm hurt. And many people live sort of waiting for those moments, and that's kind of what I get from that card, the Planned Failures card. And back to the songs. Aha, I see. It looks like Magical Hummingbirds are cleaning up my mess there in the chat room a little bit. So I'm going to go on to another song. We're going to make another return back to the first artist. The first artist we mentioned was Woven Green. And again, Jim and Ashley Cash, and Ashley has a great, strong voice, and they're both such pros. I like the way they approach their music career. They're just so solid, and sometimes, you know, the artistic type folks out there that are good aren't necessarily always the most solid individuals. And I've definitely experienced that and have been that in my own life. Here's a song by Woven Green, and I simply called this one Not Going Under.
Not slipping under
Plutha, the diamond, I see magical hummingbird saying. And I always like the story of, well, I don't know if I liked it or don't like it, but the story of the she or the elves, as they, some people say, it is a real life historical account in Roman history. I don't know, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about people saying that the crystal ships, the elves in real life leaving the islands of Britain and such to go somewhere else, and that they were surrounded by the Roman army and that they were taken out. So some people say that they were actual elves, and that could have helped keep a magical connection to the world had they not been slaughtered or not been defeated. Don't really know. It's kind of a myth, but an interesting one to look into. And that was Not Slipping Under, Woven Green. They are friends of mine, very good musicians. I'd like to start doing a few things more with them again. We were working together a lot there for a while, and they're really professional and great to work with musicians that are pros like that. I've been both. I've been the guy that just shows up and, you know, just starts, you know, partying like there's no tomorrow, and been not a very active band member, and I've also been the guy that's doing everything. And as I've gotten older, I've come to really appreciate when someone is a really active band member, even if they're less talented, if they're just a go-getter. I was having that conversation today with a friend of mine, and I was saying, now I will choose a band basically on who's doing stuff, who's being active, who wants to, you know, get busy and write and record and play shows and just do things and not get stuck and stay in the basement, you know. Yes, the Celtic she, pronounced she, the fairy folk, which include fairies, elves, gnomes, leprechauns, and fey animals. And Hummingbird knew what I was talking about. The next song I'm going to play is going to be by another artist that we already mentioned. And the reason why is because we were talking about past and history of music, and this was the song that first inspired Kellyanna, our next artist. This is when she was in England at, you know, Avalon and Stonehenge. That's what she told me on the show, and said she just sat in the middle and felt like the rest of her life would change for the positive, and she could do what she loved with her life for the positive in service of the goddess. So she said she sat in Stonehenge and this melody sort of came to her while she was in there. This one is called Mother.
Mother,
Love.
Help me. Mother, heal me. Please release me from all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother, love me. Mother, help me. Mother, heal me. Please release me from all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother,
Mother,
heal me. I'm gonna
these chains of mine, I'm gonna break
me.
These chains that bind, I'm gonna break, break.
Mother,
these chains that bind, yes, I will break.
Heal
these
me.
Chains that bind, I'm gonna break.
That do not
these chains that bind, I'm gonna break.
Mother,
necessarily get the feel for her voice unless you're standing in the room. Kellyanne has a big old voice. but her recordings still sound great, of course. And it looks like we have a caller, and I think I know who it is. I'm going to go ahead and shift over and put your microphone on. Are you there? 304.
Hi. Yes, I am. It's Heather.
Hello. How are you, Heather? Thank you for joining Main Street Universe. One of our traditions is sometimes our guests get a cymbal.
Oh.
Get a cymbal crash. Brett told me, I don't need a cymbal crash. I'm like, no, you're going to continue to get a cymbal crash.
It's all distorted on my phone. I didn't even hear that it was a cymbal.
Oh, okay. You might hear it in the archive. Yeah, it is different when you're on the phone. When you're on either headphones on the computer. I sometimes listen to Blog Talk Radio shows on headphones when I'm listening to them on computer, just because I have, you know, roommates and stuff, and I just, you know, they're directly upstairs from me, so I don't have the loudspeakers on. I kind of am listening on the headphones, so I can hear the subtleties maybe a little more. So.
Hi, Magical Hummingbird.
There she is. And she's been a friend for a pretty good while now. I met her before the show, actually, and then she kind of listens to the show from time to time when she can. I believe I met her at Wish School or maybe one of the other pagan sites. It's probably been 2 years now. You know, time keeps passing. The wheel of but I'm the deck. I'm reading from the Rider-Waite Radiant deck, which is a Rider-Waite deck with a slight variation. And it has stars, sort of the night sky stars on the back. And
that's cool.
It looks great under candlelight, I think. You know, some decks look like the Thoth deck, the Crawley deck, looks kind of pretty just in regular light. It's got the soft sort of watercolor look to it. This one, the color's a little brighter, but that kind of it's kind of cool how they jump out at you a little bit, like if you're just there with, like, two candles or something like that. But I also, one habit I do is I put some, I keep my deck in a box. You hear that? And in the box, I sometimes put some oils in it, so it smells like a little bit like tea tree and clove. It's kind of like whatever I have. But were you looking for a general message or something specific?
General, I suppose. I mean, I do have questions, but I guess I don't.
We'll start
really
with a general and see where it takes us. One card falling out of the deck.
Okay.
And I'm
going to
go with one. Oh, in fact, a couple fall out of the deck. And in my rules, I was going to draw three at first. And as you may have heard Mark Mandrake do on the last show, Pagans Tonight, you know, past, present, future, I combine them. Sometimes it's just organic and I see what they're all telling me. Sometimes I do the old traditional layouts. But
okay,
let's go ahead and flip them and see which ones came up. And it seems to me that the end of it is you're worried about something happening artistically, even maybe, or emotionally. The final card, which doesn't mean the final card, of course, just means the final one for thus far in this reading, is there was some difficulty working with others.
Yeah, for sure.
And it, you think there's definitely, when you know, emotional stagnation and almost like spilling of the cup. It's the Knight of Cups reversed. And it can sometimes mean in a creative endeavor, but it can also mean like emotion, like love. The cups can mean creativity and love as well. Some people sometimes forget that they also mean an artistic project, but that's okay. I'm getting a feeling this is issues working with others and really feeling not appreciated. Like you're not, your emotions weren't seen in like the knight is on a horse charging forward.
Yeah.
In this case, the knight is upside down. So the water, the emotion in the cup is spilling on the ground because it's upside down, and the horse doesn't appear to be moving forward. However, the Knight of Cups is present, so it's not, of course, hopeless, as none of this is, as the wheel continues to spin. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shuffle again and ask you to tell me when to stop shuffling. All right? I'm going to start right now. Tell me when to stop. I'm going to go with that one. Shuffling, shuffling,
okay.
Shuffling. Okay, stop.
Okay, you can stop.
Okay. One, again, fell out. What's interesting is being a clumsy shuffler, I guess, can help if you're reading in person. Now, I've actually never done a reading for money. My co-host has, or my old co-host, Kevin Baird, has, and does. I don't. I never have. I don't have any moral objection to it, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. I've never been a paid reader before. But I would imagine that the fact that I'm not a great shuffler might even help because then they wouldn't think that I'm tricking them, like, you know, oh, this guy's got a card up his sleeve. He's you know, clever with the shuffling. But enough of that. Let's get to your reading.
Well, it seems to be pretty accurate so far, so whatever's been falling out, I guess.
Oh, yeah, our rule is, and I've always been told by both personal teachers, I was blessed. I had somebody teach me who once he read for Madame all the names. Madame Laveau, Hummingbird can probably straighten that out for me. Madame Laveau's a house of voodoo.
Yeah, I've been by there.
And this guy was a reader there, and I helped him move some furniture. And he was like, so do you want, well, he was a professional tarot reader living in Virginia at the time. And so I was like, well, he was like, hey, do you want like a discount reading or something or help, or I'll just give you a reading. And at the time I was just starting or starting again. I had picked him up when I was younger and then kind of, you know, forgot him. I think we had the discussion in the chat room before. And long story short, and we'll get back to your reading. Instead, I just said, well, how about just, you know, some lessons instead? So he taught me a few things, kind of got me on my way, and I liked his simplicity and his approach. And I think he went back to read there at the House of Voodoo in New Orleans. Anyway, it does seem to me, and this is exactly how I'm getting this, and it's really starting to look very clear now, trouble working with others, and feeling not appreciated, like they're not seeing, you know, your emotions and your work isn't being appreciated. But a change is to come soon, the Death card. And it's a major arcana change. And I have a feeling that I know what could help with this a little bit by just what I know of you from tonight. Because the next card is the Hermit. And that is the great inner wise teacher. This means through your change, through your major arcana change, remember the major arcana are deeply spiritual cards, and you have returned to your, or what you see as your, it is a path that seems right to you with your return to paganism, Wicca, whatever the words that you like to use.
Those are both good.
Different people use different terminologies, yeah. And you'll find that some will debate these terminologies a lot. I'm certainly not here to do that tonight. And in fact, when you've chosen the same group that I started with when I made a resurgence back into my pagan, searching out pagan community, which was, of course, the Karelian tradition, I had read, you know, books and done all this, and I had gathered with some druid groups that called themselves druids. They were sort of eclectic renegade druids. And that thing happens where you go from going from books to wanting to have a community or having some sort of meeting people that are like-minded, and that's what you've done recently. Now, I know that sounds funny because you've said, oh, it's the Hermit card, and you said, I'm meeting like-minded people. What I'm saying is that the change you seek, the working with others that's positive you seek, the interesting new life and existence you seek will come from this new inner learning. And you may learn beyond where you are now, like so many people do. But I think I'm seeing your return to this as something that can definitely help you get the appreciation and the new friends and community that you desire. It can take many different forms. You know, you might like exactly what you're doing now. You might just go do it in a different way, you know, next week. But right now, it's a good thing for you, and it's good that you're returning to this deep spiritual path. It's a major arcana card, the change coming from the Hermit. Both of them major arcana, both of them deep spiritual cards. And the ending, or the last of these three cards I picked up, was the Five of Wands reversed, which is very simple. This will help to alleviate. In your mind, it's time to start letting go of bad, old, combative thoughts or habits or behaviors.
Yeah.
It's a letting go of past drama.
You know, in that witch school book, the first one, I've been preparing for the ritual bath where you do that, where you get rid of everything that's been holding you back.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, so I've been preparing for that, and it's not something I've been wanting to do because it's pretty difficult having to deal with all those. But, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
It definitely sounds like it's in tune with what you're doing. And change card, the Death card means out with the old, in with the new, on a deeply, not just in a everyday level, like, oh, you might get a couple extra bucks or something if you do this, which is always good, but this is a deeply spiritual card of this change whatever direction it takes you, in this inner searching, as well as community, because part of this was, I think you were getting a little bit of not feeling like things weren't working well with others. I think this will help you to find a new community that will be very beneficial to you and help you with a deep search. And you'll become a much wiser person in this, of course, as we do during these searches. But the Hermit's a very important major arcana card to get for that sort of thing. It is the, you know, inner search card, the inner teacher. You know, the outer teacher, it can sometimes mean, depending on what cards are around it, that you might meet a great, you know, outer teacher, as within, so without, and all that. But this is both. I think I'm getting from the cards I have here that this search will cause this dramatic change in your life. It did for me as well. Like, for example, a year ago, I didn't have this show. Now I have all these friends that I didn't know last year, including Hummingbird, who's in the chat room right now. Now, not everything's perfect. Things happen during the search. But definitely, and you may change. You may change your direction. You may change. You may decide that that the witch school isn't necessarily the direction. But it's good for you right now. I'm still with them, too, and I'm with other traditions as well. And I say, you know, stick with what feels right to you. And like you said, it definitely sounded as if the cards are in the direction that you're going. And remember that it was definitely about letting go of drama and combat. It was the Five of Wands reverse, which is a stalemate combat card. It means that combat isn't doing you any damn bit of good, basically. Pardon my French, but it's really not doing you any good. So you got to let go of that past comment. So I'm going to do just one. I'm just going to draw from it. I'm going to just shuffle the pile just to draw one extra card, like extra conclusion on this. And tell me when to stop shuffling. I'm shuffling now.
Okay.
I just set it here. Okay.
Okay. How about right now?
Okay. I almost stopped at the other one, but I was still going. And I'm just going to draw right from the top, if that feels right. And
okay. Maybe I said now too soon.
No, no. There's really not a wrong time. Basically, it's all the same kind of warning. It's not giving me an extra special, like, and then this great thing will happen. It's all the same stuff. By that, I mean following the let go of combat thing, because the other one was guard against not paying attention to the thing that you're interested in and into your new path, which is, you know, the new thing, the new great structure you're trying to build, the Page of Wands. That's a warning to me. It's saying that you could fall away from this. So it's kind of just a warning thing. Of course, it's your life, and you do what you want with your life. I'm not telling you that you have to be a witch, and that's going to make your life better. But if you so desire to do metaphysical practices, it's telling me that this will be, for those of you that aren't, that don't know what we're talking about, that may be listening now or in the archives, we're talking about studying metaphysical things and spiritual things and changing your religious and spiritual perspective, that, or returning to it, in this case, perhaps, as you had been with it a little bit before. And that's what this card is warning me against. There's a good chance you might just lose focus and fall away. Don't follow that pattern again. Go ahead. And look, I was just picking the cards up as I was saying that, and the Fool card fell out. It's saying, take that leap. Take a nice big leap into this. Explore the world of magic and paganism and Wicca and witchcraft and all those things and all its different forms. And I think if you continue to and not let it slip away, that's what the Page of Wands reversed was to me. Don't let the new thing slip away. Don't let this new passion slip away. It's a warning. Follow it and keep following it. Now, we're going to go through phases. Like, I've taken forever to finish certain things, including at the one that you mentioned. And I'm on other programs, too. I'm with the Drew group and something else as well. And, you know, I'm a little slow on some of them, but keep on it. And I think because I see this as something that you are passionate about,
mm-hmm.
going into the world.
Yeah, I'm into it. That's for sure. I mean, I think it's wonderful. I'm on the path, so hopefully I'll stay on it. Hello? Uh-oh, I lost you.
In the recent past, and in the cards that showed me, you know, the three of pentacles reversed, some people call it the three of coins or disc reversed. The coins or discs or pentacles reversed show bad working with others. And for those that don't know, reversed is upside down. That's when a card is upside down.
Yeah.
Some people don't read upside down cards. I dramatically do. I'm not judgmental on people that don't. I don't play those kind of games. I'm very universal in my approach to things. If there are many great readers that do not read upside down cards, I do. It doesn't mean that they're negative. It means they're teaching you a different lesson, and I like that. I like that approach.
It seems to be working.
For me,
as far
that's...
as the going.
You broke up just for a second. Say again.
I said it seems to be working, the reading the reversal cards, as far as this reading goes.
Well, thank you. They all work, I think. I think it's like this. I think it's whatever language the person using the tool decides to open up.
Okay.
So I think it's like if you say, I don't need the reversed, and you train yourself that way, then you train yourself to be able to see it. And the same, maybe even to see the duality less without,
yeah.
If you know what I mean, you know.
So
it's everybody's different. I prefer, I'm a little more maybe of a simpleton, and I just want to see the thing upside down if it's supposed to be upside down. So, in fact, Kevin, my friend Kevin Baird, who's a professional reader, he has a different rule for reversed. He, like, created his own rule. His rule is... And, of course, he reads from an oracle deck, not from tarot, but he created his own rule for it of saying if it's reversed, it just means the difference between if it's upright, it's you. If it's reversed, it means how the public sees you or how those around you see you.
Oh.
So he kind of created his own rule for reversed. So there's different things that people using divination tools create, and then there are certain universal things that we still follow. But it's a great journey. And I also say if you're going to start this journey into, you know, Wicca and paganism and all this, buy a tarot deck and just start learning it. Even if you don't read, it's a great experience.
I have a couple of them already, and I read them sometimes for myself. But,
okay.
Sometimes they don't make a lot of sense. I write down the cards I get so
good
I can
idea,
look up later.
That's a good
and see if it makes sense later. But, yeah, actually, I like the idea of tarot cards, and so I kind of collect them. But I collect them more than use them, I think.
Oh, lots of people do that. I know people that are really good readers that never read anymore, but they just love the cards. And they also, some of them just love artwork, because some of the artwork is so beautiful. You know.
Yeah.
I recently bought a Kipling West. It was a Halloween deck, and it's a little bit corny and fun and gothic. It's like gothic cartoon deck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it has great, like, old gothic cartoon imagery in it. It's a funny, quirky tarot deck. It's not my main one I read from. I usually use my old school Rider-Waite Radiant. And I've been learning my friend Kevin's Oracle deck as well, but I'm still trying to – it's actually more cards. You know, it's like 120 cards, so it's – you know, I got to take the time to really just dig into it and meditate on it. Lay them out on the bed and meditate on them sometimes is a good way. And one thing that helped me when I first started learning was numerology, but then again, everyone's different. For me, knowing the numbers relationships helped a lot. For some people, they don't relate to numbers as well. They relate more to, like, pictures. I kind of like both, but when I understood the number system, it started to come together for me. But again, everybody's a little... So I hope that was helpful. It seemed to be kind of where you are, and it definitely was telling me there's a chance you might let this slip away. And reading was saying, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm telling you what the cards were suggesting.
Yeah.
They were suggesting,
don't let
this slip away. Stay with this. Be strong in this.
Yeah.
Stay with, you know, the goddess path and see where it takes you, at least for a while. But stay with it in whatever form it takes. Because I think it'll be a very interesting and satisfying thing for you if you do. It may even bring about that emotional support and the other things you were, you know, lacking and having issues with before in working with others.
Wonderful.
And all of that.
Well, that's good news, that reading.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything else you would like to share?
How much to say on a forum like this, at school I have been having problems with a certain person who decided to choose me to pick on, and I'm always very polite to her, but for some reason she it's really strange. So, I thought that was an interesting part of your reading as well.
I think just keep staying strong and keep on the internal search. And I'm literally, by that, I mean actual practicing and not just learning. I actually did that for a while. I was sort of a scholar of metaphysical practice. By scholar, I don't mean high-end, you know, elitist scholar. I just mean I took a scholarly approach. I just read and was like, oh, I love reading about this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but you know what? I'm not really in it. And that's when I went online and started reaching out, you know, sort of to the world. It's like, well, I've read so much about this stuff, but I haven't really been in it. I mean, start doing a regular meditative practice. I would say do it.
Yeah.
I
have recently.
And
I've started like a year and a day.
Getting into those things. And it's saying that we have 90 seconds left on the show, but I'm actually going to expand the show a little longer. I have the power to do this. I think it can be done even without me doing this. I think it'll just go on until I press end. Because I actually thought that it was going to be a little slower, but it was great to have somebody call. I didn't want to necessarily advertise free readings because it was so busy last night. I kind of felt really drained after the experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I think... I wasn't exaggerating when I said I think I had somewhere between like 12 and 15 people that I didn't get to, which is rare. I mean, usually our show gets, for being a small show, we get better ratings than people might think. And our ratings are getting closer to Pegas tonight, and I say that in a friendly way. They're my friends, definitely. I've had Rev Don on the show. I've had Selena Fox on the show. Hey, the page says I have 24 hours left. Reverend Don was great on my show. Thea Sabin, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She has a book called Wicca for Beginners. It was her, Reverend Don, and my brother Scott, who's a Unitarian minister. And we had a great conversation about...
That must have been really interesting. I'll have to check it out on the archives.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one. We talked about education, the history of education, and the pagan influences on what's called a classical education, you know, with the Greek and Latin and Roman influence. The founding fathers of America, you know, they had classical educations, the ones that were educated. When you had an education then, it was a classical education. And a classical education is basically a pagan one, one could argue. It's based on pagan ideals and learning. They viewed science like this, like Aristotle and Pythagoras and the great classical thinkers in the Western classical thought, as some people will say, I'll get into that later. They believed in, it was all the same thing. They're like, okay, mathematics, linguistics, geometry, magic, you know, reading. They didn't separate them. To them, it was all a science, including magic, including, metaphysical practice. It was just a science, and a part of religion. It wasn't a religion all by itself, but it was definitely a part of it. That, you know, they had, you know, goddess and god pantheons. If you go around Washington D.C., where I live near Washington D.C., there's barely any Christian imagery. It's all, you know, goddess statues holding up, you know, scales of justice. And, and of course, you know, in New York, or, you know, you have the Statue of Liberty, which is the Greek goddess Libertas. And there's all of this pagan imagery in the classical education. The images of pagan religions inspired the founding fathers. Now, I'm not saying the founding fathers were perfect. They definitely had their flaws, and some of them owned slaves and everything else. But what we're talking about is the great influence that pagan thought had on at least the forming of this country. And again, nothing against the Christians. I'm not a Christian, but one of my hosts is actually Christian. So on my Nick Berry, one of our co-hosts, is a Catholic, and he's a very liberal Catholic. And we talk about these things sometimes in person. And so the idea of the classical education, again, was basically founded by pagan thinkers. And so the Christian thinkers, sometimes they struggle with this because, and you see this in the homeschooling groups, because they want to give their kid a really good homeschool education, some of these Christian groups. But what they're drawing from is pagan thought. They're drawing from Pythagoras, who believed in magic and believed in reincarnation. He believed in what is sort of considered the modern transmigration model that pagans believe in now, which is that we come back as humans. We just keep coming back as humans. Maybe at some time we were animals, but then we come back as humans and then we move on to something else, you know, after that. But we believe in many lives, that energy can't be destroyed, and that the soul is made of energy, that everything in the universe is energy. So far, in our modern science, no one has taken a quote-unquote piece of energy and destroyed it. This is why we believe in reincarnation. Our soul doesn't die. On a scientific level, it doesn't die. Quantum physics and quantum mechanics are beginning to back up what the ancient alchemists and mystics were saying all along, that there's a spark inside of us that's energy, and it doesn't get destroyed. It keeps going on. So that's an interesting thing to wrap your head around when you finally really... There's one thing about saying it, and then another thing about really believing it. It changes your perception of life, because now you're no longer scared of... just scared of, like, the one thing that happens to you after you die. You just think that it's all progress, progress, progress. And, yeah, and Hummingbird just posted a Goddess of America thing. And there's all kinds of goddess imageries in downtown D.C. and in the Capitol building areas. And then they have the Greco-Roman buildings that look like, you know, those buildings. So it's it was I went beyond the conversation a little bit, but it was it, yeah, that was a good talk. And we meandered on to some other things as well. But one of the great things about pagan thought, now I'm kind of getting into my religion a little bit here, folks. It's getting late, but that's okay. And is, to me, the acceptance that we are reincarnated beings. We live many, many lives. And that this little life, though it's important, it's very important, and we have to, you know, to help ourselves in our future lives, we make good decisions, hopefully here, of which I've made plenty of bad ones. But it is a certain freedom when you accept in your heart that you're just, you know, almost scientifically that you're just going to live on, and you're going to, in some form, it'll be a different person, but a piece of you will go on into that. And to me, that was always a very freeing thought versus the whole, okay, I got one shot, either atheist or Christian, I got one shot, and if I screw it up, I'm burning in hell, or I'm going to heaven. or if you're an atheist, you're you know, it's, the lights are out and it's all over. Which I guess you wouldn't be that mad because you wouldn't know the difference. So, yes, you do have to do this again. I saw you type that in. So I know I've been rambling. Forgive me. Somehow I got over there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I should respond or just
it's okay.
hang up and listen.
You can respond. kind of an intimate show tonight, just a few of us. We might get some archive listens. And again, sometimes it's an illusion because there are other listeners that listen in other ways. Like some people download it onto their phone and they don't show up like in chat rooms and stuff like that. So you'll look at your archives and go, oh gosh, I didn't know there were 30 people there. You know, that's happened before too. But most of the time, it's for people that sign up for Blog Talk Radio, the site, those are the people that you can see their name and icon, like Hummingbird and you and myself in the chat room. And the people that don't show up as a guest and sometimes can't write in the chat room. I think that's how it works. And Hummingbird said, you're not rambling. The other shows, Blog Talk Radio shows we listen to, are nothing but rambling. But yeah,
I get the end of Flynn. It's good.
So it's been a casual Monday or Tuesday technically. And been great to have you guys here and good to have a caller. And it seemed like a really good reading. It seemed really solid. And I love when readings are of that nature. Sometimes it's great just to get a general reading and a stumble across the things. My least favorite readings are the ones where people say things like, all right, I got three lawyers, I'm choosing one. Which one should I go with? those are my least favorite. Because to me, a reading is a reflection. I view the cards as little mirrors, and they're reflecting what your higher self already knows, and then they're showing them back to you, again, back to the as within, so without. You know, as without, so within, as above, so below, as the universe, so the soul, as they say. And they're reflecting back what your higher self, your higher spiritual self, kind of knows. It's almost like it's sending it back to you as a consultant, not necessarily meant to be used. That's why I don't do readings for money. Because, and some of my atheist friends would be like, oh, that's because it's BS. It's like, no, it's a great consultant. But when you do it for money, people start wanting, they're like, look, am I pregnant or not? You know what I mean? That's not really to me what the cards are for. They're an archetypal consultant that, yes, is a message from spirit. In my case, before I do a reading, most of the time before I do for somebody else, I set them up, I do a cleansing and blessing ritual for them, a very simple, short one, and I usually do a little prayer asking that the readings be strong. My matron goddess is Kuan Yin. I don't know if you're familiar with Kuan Yin. She comes from the Buddhist pantheon, and my first exploration away from Southern Baptism was when I took Kung Fu as a kid. So the teacher was a Taoist, actually. But it was sort of that Eastern thing that I felt very naturally connected to. And I called myself a Taoist for years, actually, which is sometimes more of a philosophy than a religion, but it's also a religion as well, and even has its own mysticism. The yin and yang comes from Taoism, for those listening that don't know. Balance. It's all about balance. And that was a necessary separation. Taoism is a lot about disconnect and separating from desire, separating from the unnecessary, sort of muddy passion that can get in the way. However, I started turning more towards the pagan path which is similar, but it's a little bit more about accepting your passion and going, finding ways to create and make your own new existence for yourself. That's kind of, it's a funny argument that could honestly make for another 4-hour talk show, but we don't really have that kind of time. But I wasn't the greatest Taoist because I honestly still had way too much desire and passion. But it was a necessary exercise in disconnecting, sort of pulling back and viewing things from above. And it's an interesting way to look at things. And it was an interesting doorway for me. But now I consider myself sort of fully pagan and very much feel at home with that and the symbolic language. Like, for example, the more you learn about symbolic language, like when we were talking about the tarot earlier, the more you understand even your own nightmares. Like, you can see the most horrific thing in a nightmare, and it doesn't look as scary when you start thinking about it, because you understand that it's just a message being sent to you from your higher self. And it could be horrifying, but you can start breaking it down. And then when you become even braver in your dreams, you can even break it down even better and maybe even fight back against that, you know, scary thing in the dream. So that's the value of learning the archetypal language of things like the tarot and other, even, you know, alchemy symbols and all this great symbolism that might be the greatest contribution, you know, of pagan thought, is the great archetypal symbols. And having that help you to see that life and all of your many lives are little more than a progression, and there's a lot of time. However, there are certain things you want to accomplish, and when you're 41 years old like I am, then you start feeling like you're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead here and play another song. I thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for letting me call in and that wonderful reading.
You're welcome. And continue your journey. It was definitely telling me, now again, I don't tell you what to do. I'm just saying the cards were saying it's a great idea for you to not let this one slip away. Just like the song I played that song, remember, Not Slipping Away earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The reading said the same thing. Don't let this passion slip away. Stay with it. Of course, we'll all take breaks from it from time to time, but I do that sometimes. But keep that passion of that, and then pursue it in a communal way, I think. Like, find like-minded people and build a nice new network of life like I've done. And, of course, a great example in the chat room is Hummingbird, who's become a new friend over the last few years or so since I started jumping back into this path. So best of luck, and I thank you very much.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, and like I said, find me on Facebook, or if not, maybe I'll check your name out and try to find that. And I'm going to turn your mic off. All right, we got a little bit of time left. Back to the Hippie Gypsies Hummingbird that I mentioned before. It's another song from their... from their CD that I bought from them. And they were touring around the country, just playing wherever they could, on the side of the road or at an open mic and selling CDs. And I said, how much will the CD? And they said, hey, whatever feels good to you, man, whatever feels comfortable. So this one is called Leaf Keepers. Vibration is the band. Thank you.
Look
That was my old band, Token Groove, from a few years back. First time I ever got played on real radio was actually in that band, and it was Dr. Zoe Hieronymus, who had a show in Baltimore, The Zoe Show. Maybe Hummingbird has heard of Zoe Hieronymus before. She's actually been on this show before. And thank you, Heather, for saying you liked it. It's not really one I play much anymore. I might, you know, revisit it. But it was, you know, something I had lying around in a CD. I uploaded it. It's from one of my old bands. And Dr. Hieronymus was on our show. She wrote a book called Sanctuary of the Divine Presence. She was going to call the book, I think she said she was going to call it The Seven Prophetesses, the seven, you know, female prophets. But I think she thought people would struggle with the word prophetesses. So she decided to call it Sanctuary of the Divine Presence. And she had a radio show on WCBM in Baltimore, Maryland for about 15 years. And this show was very popular. She was big in Baltimore for a while. So it was nice for her to visit, you know, my show here on Blog Talk Radio, because her husband is still on the air, Dr. Bob. And Hummingbird might remember, if you're there listening, the Volkswagen bus. Yes. If you remember Hummingbird in Rolling Stone magazine, maybe you do, maybe you don't. There was a Volkswagen bus that was popular in the 60s, late 60s, that was in the Rolling Stone magazine cover, and it was called Light. The name of the bus was Light. And Dr. Hieronymus, Zoe's husband, was the one that painted it. It was like this painted-up Volkswagen hippie bus. And so I met the Hieronymuses, speaking of something to say that's difficult on the air, and they're just great people. And I met them in the late 90s, early 2000s, doing a talent show. So they had a radio show. They were on regular, what I call old media. We're on the new media here. But they were on old media radio. They were on AM radio. And they had a talent show going on. So I entered it. And I didn't win, but I think she thought that she liked me better than the other acts. And she started playing my songs on her show. So that was the first time I ever got to hear myself on the radio. And this was right around, at that time I didn't have internet, so I didn't even, you know, internet radio wasn't even around. So it was the first time I heard myself on the radio. Oh, you had a bolt like wiped out by a hurricane. But we are coming to the actual ending of the show soon now, folks. And I definitely want to thank the both of you for sticking around and being patient and listening to me play some songs and ramble, as well as do what I thought was a pretty nice reading and hit some cymbals and some drums. I'm kind of far away from the drum, so I had to reach for that one. But about 60 seconds left. Thank you both very much. And again, I'll try to find you on Facebook there, Heather. There's always another VW bus in your future. I don't have time to do a reading for that. But the final song will be, again, our drummer from the State Department, Tom Teasley. This song is called Fury Dance. Great percussionist, and he plays all the instruments. Thank you both so very much, and blessed be.